Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. And it is Friday. It's one of my favorite days of the week, and so we are glad that you have tuned in today. We are right now going through the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord's Prayer, where it says, "Yours is the kingdom and the glory and the power, all that is His forever and ever." And so let me just read that to you so that I don't forget anything. "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." And so we are talking about things that belong to God. They're mine. Now, every time I think of that expression, I think of Daffy Duck. I think it is mine, mine. It's all mine, 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 mine. And we're not talking about it from that stingy, greedy mindset. We're talking about things that are ascribed to God. They belong to Him, as written in the Word of God. And so we need to make sure that we do not touch them. And so today we are talking about the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. That's out of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And we're leapfrogging to the book of Ephesians, because we're talking about what does it look like? Because if there's a battle, there's got to be an enemy that is being battled against. And so we are looking at some things that are enemies of God, that are at enmity with God. And so in Genesis chapter 3, we talked about we're supposed to be at enmity with Satan. Hosea chapter 9, verses 7 and 8 talked about enmity in God's house. Romans chapter 8, verse number 7, the carnal mind is enmity against God. You know, a lot of times people think, well, what did I do to become your enemy? Well, it's not necessarily the things that we do. Sometimes it is the thoughts that we think. The carnal mind versus the spiritual mind. And the carnal mind positions us in hostility against God. So there's actually, before we get to Ephesians, we are going to go to James chapter 4. Verse number 4, there is one more thought that my notes were out of alignment there. James chapter 4, verse number 4. While you're turning to that, I want to take this opportunity to say thank you to the folks at Wyrick Air, Heat and Electric. 321, they're based in Rockledge, Florida. 321-632-9538. Now, if you're looking for a fly-by-night company, you don't want to call them, because they've been here in Brevard County for decades. And so as I'm driving around the county, especially the central part of the county, it's where I do most of my driving, I'm constantly seeing, I've never seen that name before. I've never seen this name before. And the thing about those different names is sometimes they are people that just blew into town. They're looking to make a quick impact, and they may not be around for very long. Well, the folks at Wyrick Air have been providing emergency service, residential service, and commercial service in the sales, service, and repairs of air conditioning, heating, and electric for over 40 years. 40 years, that's four decades. Some of you hadn't been alive that long yet. They strive to provide you with the best service possible at an affordable price. So if you find yourself in need of their services, give them a call, 321-632-9538. 321-632-9538. Let me tell you about the folks at Wyrick Air. Right now, there is a tremendous amount of work that is going on with air conditioning and things like that. And so Dennis was telling me some weeks ago that someone had called them. they were looking to get an estimate, and that a company or this person had talked to another company, and they told them it was going to be weeks. It might even have been a month before they would be able to get out there to give them an estimate. Wyrick Air was able to go out and give them an estimate. So I don't know about you, but if you are without air conditioning for a night, I tell you what I want to do. I'm either going to buy a window unit. I'm calling a friend with a window unit. There was a friend of mine that I had, his air conditioning went out, and I said, "Well, I tell you what, I've got a small little window unit here. I can let you have." I met him in Vieira. He lived in Palm Bay. I met him in Vieira and gave him the window unit just so that they would have some relief from the heat in the summertime. That goes back a few years ago. But if I don't have air conditioning now, I'm going to buy one, or I'm going to a hotel. it is just too hot to be able to function at peak efficiency without an air conditioning. So like I say, if you want to run the risk with a fly-by-night company, you can. But I know that Wyrick Air has a great reputation when it comes to air conditioning, when it comes to heating, and when it comes to electrical service that has spanned four decades. You can give them a call if you need them their services. 321-632-9538. 321-632-9538. So I was talking to you earlier about the carnal mind is enmity against God. And so the thoughts that we think, the way that we think, I made a post on Facebook some times ago, and it said, "I am so thankful for the teachers and the professors that I had in my life that just didn't teach me to memorize answers. They taught me how to process thought." You see, there is a tremendous amount of peer pressure to get you to believe things in 2020. You might have thought that peer pressure ended when you graduated high school. I want you to know it didn't. There are a lot of people that I know that they were doing fine until quitting time came and their coworkers started pressuring them to go do some things after work that the coworkers did that wasn't in the best interest of this person that they were supposed to go. So instead of going home to their family, they were going out with their friends. That's the wrong choice. The second was they were going to do things that weren't of benefit to them spiritually. That's the wrong choice. We've got to know how to process thought. I will tell you right now, no matter who you are voting for in the general election, there is no one on the ticket that is Jesus. Okay? What I mean by that is there's no perfect candidate. Jesus was the only one who was ever a perfect individual. And I wish I could say that he was on the ticket, but he's not. But I can also tell you this, that person A has the same flaws as person B. Person B has multiple flaws, so does person A. So you've got to look, you've got to examine, you've got to pray, and you've got to find out not necessarily which individual you're going to vote for, but which policies that you're going to support. It has to do with the way that you think. So there are some people that say, well, you know, politics is kind of outside of the, you know, it's amazing that the people who've been propagating the separation of church and state, which is not in the U.S. Constitution, by the way, it is in a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote to a Baptist church that said, look, we're going to make sure that we keep the state out of the church affairs. That's what the point of that letter was all about. That for decades now, people have been telling us that church and state is separate until coronavirus came along. And now they're saying, wait a minute, you're the church. You have to do what we say in this situation. And they're not necessarily so willing to advocate for a separation of church and state. And so there are some people that say, look, the church shouldn't be in politics. You can't find that in the scripture. Nathan was the prophet. He went to David, the king. The spiritual arm went to the political arm, and he said, you're the man. And it's very well known in the biblical circles that God is the one that causes kingdoms to rise and to fall. So with that being said, I thought I would tell you this. This has nothing to do with American politics. One, Pentecostal believers are looked upon with a great deal of suspicion. Some people think that we're not biblically sound, and that's sad. I've actually had people that have wondered, are you sure that he's not secretly part of our denomination because of how much value that we have on the word? But there was an election that took place on an international scale here recently in the past few months, and the person that they elected to be the president of their country used to be the general superintendent of the Assemblies of God of that country. And you know what's going to happen? That country's going to be exalted. Because he was Assemblies of God? No, but because he's righteous, because he loves Jesus, because he loves the word, and he knows what it means to be a servant. See, our civil servants are there to serve the nation, not necessarily the other way around. But you have to know how to process thought to be able to weed out the lies and the deception and the bones so that you can get down and say, okay, what is it that really, really matters? Okay, so you've got people saying about our situation, well, let's disqualify this candidate for this reason, and people on the other side, well, you got to disqualify that guy because of what he does. And can I just throw something out there? Wouldn't it be great if someone who was passionately in love with Jesus day in and day out and truly valued his word was raised up as a political force in America? I tell you, I think that would be a wonderful thing. It would scare a bunch of unbelievers half to death because they would say, this goes back. We don't want Christians because they're going to legislate morality. And actually, what they meant by that is we've got to elect non-Christians because they're going to legislate immorality. That's really what was going on there. So we've got to think spiritually minded. You can be thinking spiritually minded and have those thoughts permeate throughout the rest of your makeup. To be carnally minded, to only be thinking about the here, the now, the self, the flesh, the finances, all of that. If that is all you fixate, you're going to find that you are at odds with God. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom, and it's never going to stop increasing. It is never going to end. James chapter 4, verse number 1 says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, listen to this. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever, therefore, wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace? Okay, so you and I, on a regular basis, we make decisions on who our friend is going to be. Are we going to be friends of God, or are we going to be friends of the world? That doesn't mean that you have friends that are not Christians. That's not what that means at all. What it means is you are friends with the world system, the way the world does things. God does things differently than the world does. Okay? The the world enslaves and God liberates. The world system steals and kills and destroys, oppresses and corrupts, and God is truth. He's compassion. He doesn't steal, he gives. He doesn't kill, he gives life. He doesn't destroy, he builds up. So there is a vast difference. And so if we want to be able to say, look, this battle belongs to the Lord because I'm walking in covenant relationship, then we've also got to allow God to create in us a friendship and a longing for the way that he does it. That means his thoughts are higher than my thoughts. His ways are higher than my ways. And so I need him. I need to draw close to him because I don't want to find myself on the wrong side of the battle line. Okay? The world right now, they say, you don't want to be on the wrong side of history. I've heard that a bunch of times. Let me tell you something. You don't want to be on the wrong side of eternity. You don't want to be on the wrong side of truth. You don't want to be on the wrong side of God. And so I'll be honest with you. I've got some friends. I've known them most of my life. And they do not utilize a righteous standard in their life. They want to point out all sorts of problems and flaws and hypocrisy, but yet they never reciprocate to look at their own side of the equation. And they're highly likable on a personal standpoint, but on a philosophical standpoint, and here's the thing, we grew up in the same church together. We grew up hearing the same messages, and we could not be too much more different. There's a lot of people that I grew up with, and we are dynamically different, diametrically different. We process thought completely and totally different than one another. And so when it comes to processing thought, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, I don't want to have, anything to do with it. I need my life to line up with the Word of God. Okay? So let's look at Romans chapter 5. I've got, I'll try and get my notes here. We got one more passage of Scripture after this one. Romans chapter 5. And we're getting close. Romans chapter 5. And it says this, verse number 6, for when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Listen to that. You had no strength. I had no strength. And Christ died for us, not because we were godly, but we were ungodly. We were fighting against God. We were not doing life the way that God wanted us to. We were living evil instead of good. And Jesus said, I see potential for me working in their life. And he said, I'm willing to go and die for them. And it says in verse number 8 that he demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not only did we not have strength, not only were we ungodly, we were sinners. We were active participants in the spiritual war being waged against the kingdom of God. Paul is the one who writes this, and Paul knew exactly what it was like to be a persecutor of the church. And he said, Jesus died for me. Jesus appeared to me. Jesus changed me. And he did all of that while I was on the wrong side. Okay. I know a lot of people, and they kind of have the Fonzie syndrome. I'm not talking about the, hey, some of you are so old or so young, you don't even know Fonzie. Fonzie was a character on Happy Days. He was supposed to be the coolest cat around. He just go up to a machine and smack it, and all of a sudden the jukebox would begin to play. If it was broken, it would start working. But there was one episode, it is my favorite episode, and he was wrong. And he never, ever told anybody that he was wrong. And so he said, I was, and he never could get the word I was wrong out. I want you to know there are a lot of people that pride is preventing them from embracing the reconciled relationship with the Father that Jesus made possible. So it says here we were without strength in verse 6. In verse number 8, it says that we were sinners. And in verse number 10, it says, verse number 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. So there are three characteristics that are there. We were without strength, we were sinners, and Paul goes on and he writes, we were God's enemies, and Jesus died to end the war. Let me take you over to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians. Remember, the battle is the Lord's, right? To spirit, there wasn't anything that we could do about our lack of strength. And so God gave us strength. There wasn't anything that we could do that could break the dynamic that we were sinners, that we could do on our own. And Jesus came and did that. There wasn't anything that we could do to break the power of the taskmaster in our life that was causing us to fight against God. And Jesus came and died and said, I can take care of that. I want you on my team. I was the type of person that when it came time to pick teams when we were growing up, I was towards the end of the scale. I wasn't towards the front of the scale. Everybody was picking people in front of me, but not Jesus. Jesus wanted me on his team. He wants you on his team. And he picked you even while our hearts were still waging war against him. So let me take you to Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 14. And it says, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one, Gentiles and Jews, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. The battle is the Lord's. He comes and he says, look, I'm your peace. He is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. And he took the Gentile and the Jew and he said, I am going to make them one. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to be one organism. There's a passage in Ezekiel 37. It talks about the people of Judah and the people of Ephraim. They had been two distinct nations for hundreds of years. And Ezekiel is told to take a rod and write Ephraim on it, take a rod and write Judah on it. And And he says, now put them both in your hand and they will become one in your hand. I've got a friend of mine, a dear friend. He's pastored his church just a few months longer than I've pastored mine. And that is the mindset that we have towards our church. He's got his church. I've got the church that I pastor. But we are not enemies. We are not competitors. We are united in God's hands. And so we both have the same objective, and that is to plunder the kingdom of darkness. Too many churches end up being their little domicile-minded instead of being kingdom-minded. We can't afford to do that. And it says here, he abolished in his flesh the enmity, the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, so to create in himself one new man. Jesus said, you know what? I am going to put an end to this hostility. It doesn't mean that Jesus threw up the white flag of surrender. It says that Jesus came and paid the price for our hostility against God so that we didn't have to fight a losing battle. What's it say in verse number 16? That in one body, through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and he preached peace to you who are afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Okay? So he literally ended the hostility. God is not fighting against you. You are not fighting against God if you have said yes to Jesus' sacrificial work in your life. And instead, he, God, in Jesus, comes and has a message of peace that is proclaimed to you and to me. What a great thing. So I want you to know that we today, you today, have the opportunity to say, God, I'm tired of fighting you. I'm tired of fighting your word. I'm tired of fighting with myself. I'm tired of fighting generational issues. God, today I want to say yes to you being the Lord of my life, saying yes to being restored to you. Why don't you just quickly say this prayer with me? Heavenly Father, I love you. I thank you for sending Jesus to bring peace where war was waging. I say yes to your leadership and your lordship in my life. God bless you. That's the best way I know to start a weekend off. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
see.